This morning we'll be reading from Canto 3, Chapter 9, and three texts, 36, 37, and 38, and I can tell you they're very confidential. We'll find out some things that if the Lord didn't reveal it, we would never know about a relationship between Himself and Lord Brahma. So this is Lord Vishnu speaking to Lord Brahma before he begins his recreating that portion of the universe that's dissolved during the partial annihilation of his night. And it's a very intimate exchange. Intimate in the sense that there's confidential, more confidential, most confidential categories of knowledge. And this most confidential category is devotional service. Confidential is the soul. More confidential is the supreme soul distinct from the individual soul. Most confidential is the relationship. And this is most confidential of the most confidential. Because a lot of the realm of devotional service is what do we as devotees do? That's devotional service. That's in the category of the most confidential knowledge. But then this is what the Lord does and what He feels and how He regards His devotee. Something like at the end of chapter 12, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is describing when He sees these qualities in His devotees, what He feels. Or the chapter 10, when I see someone engage in undivided devotional service, I give them the knowledge by which they can come to me. Like, you know, what Krishna does from his side, what he feels. So that's what's here. Text 36. Although I am not easily knowable by the conditioned souls, you have known me today because you know that my personality is not constituted of anything material, and specifically, not of the five gross and subtle elements. So, he's appreciating his devotee who has approached him in a non-material or a spiritual conception. And in the purport, it's not, the spiritual conception is not just that neti-neti, not just that he's not this and not that. But his form is fully spiritual, what his form and his identity is. Purport. Knowledge of the supreme absolute truth does not necessitate negation of the material manifestation, but understanding of spiritual existence as it is. To think that because material existence is realized in forms, therefore spiritual existence must be formless, is only a negative material conception of spirit, which, by the way, is very common. Not just Shingeri Math common, but all over the world common. East and West common. And very popular in the spiritual marketplace today. Like, either implicit or explicit, very common. That's my experience. People that have some attraction for spirituality, that's where they go. It's either mode of goodness and call that spirituality, like the topic yesterday evening of compassion, Buddhism. What's Buddhism? Compassion is religion. It's the mode of goodness. And that's considered spirituality. And somebody that does, you've heard the phrase in regular parlance these days, so-and-so is a really spiritual person. And what does that mean? It means they're more in the mode of goodness than the rest of us. Practically speaking, that's the value that's placed on the word spiritual. So, somewhere in the range of the mode of goodness is what's spiritual. And then you go above that a little bit, and it's an experience of something that's beyond this covering of material contamination. And what's that? It's, well, I don't know what to call it, but it's spiritual existence. It's impersonal. I've had recently, in the past couple of months, a number of persons who are just newly searching and looking out in the spiritual marketplace to see what's out there, and we're one of the things that they look at, so they pick us off of the shelf and take a look and see, what's this thing? And the words that come out of their mouth is, through my process of meditation, I realize that there's this consciousness, this state of existence that's way beyond the stuff we normally experience, and things like, well, I don't know how to stay there because they haven't taken shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna is why they can't stay there. But it's there, and it's sublime, and I'd like to experience that all the time. And they don't have a clue. Like, as far as spiritual form, it's clueless. So there is spiritual form, and what Lord Vishnu is particularly highlighting is that Brahma has a clear sense of the spiritual form of the Lord, and he doesn't carry with it the material conception. That material conception is gone, and the spiritual conception of the Lord's form is there, and the Lord is especially appreciating that. Like Naham Prakasha Sarvasha Yoga Maya Samavrita. Mudhoyam Nabhi Janati. Krishna has potencies by which he covers the living entity that doesn't have that proper regard. And those living entities that have that proper regard, he removes that covering potency and discloses himself, as he's doing here. It's exactly what he's saying. The real spiritual conception is that spiritual form is not material. Brahma appreciated the eternal form of the Lord in that way, and the personality of Godhead approved of Brahma's spiritual conception. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord condemned the material conception of Krishna's body, which arises because he apparently is present like a man. What's that verse from Bhagavad Gita? Krishna condemns one as having a foolish conception, that thinking that Krishna's body arises because he apparently is present like a man. What's the verse? Manushim tanamashritam parambhavam ajananto. Krishna condemns that person as mudha. Avajananti ma mudha. That's not a compliment. It's strong language. Manushim tanam ashritam. So that's exactly of those who are impersonalists, and they come across this idea of Krishna. Who is Krishna? Krishna is Brahman that becomes covered. Very elevated covering, highest, most subtle quality of material covering. That's his exalted position. He's covered Brahman, way up there. And we're way down here. But we're covered Brahman, he's covered Brahman. We're the same. We're Krishna. Krishna's and us are non-different, other than, the strata of covering. It's offensive. Or mudha. Param bhavam. They do not know my transcendental nature. Mamavyam anuttamam. And my infallible and transcendental nature. The spiritual quality of his form. So here's Brahma that does understand the spiritual quality of his form. not just that it's not material, but it's fully spiritual. He's able, he carries this spiritual conception. Then we'll hear more, how did he get this spiritual conception? The Lord gave it to him. The Lord may appear in any of his many, many spiritual forms, but he is not materially composed, nor has he any difference between body and self. There's no inside and outside. Surrender to Krishna within. When that's the Mayavad interpretation. Surrender unto me. Mayavad interpretation. Not unto me. Unto the unborn, unmanifested within. Surrender to that. Manmana, don't think of me. Think of the unborn, unmanifest within. Explicit. Shameful. Shamefully explicit. And those who are inclined to not surrender to Krishna, they like it. Oh, this is very good. And to those who have love for Krishna, this is awful. So we have these differences. That is the way of conceiving the spiritual form of the Lord, seeing that he has full spiritual identity. Next verse, these three verses are connected. Text 37. Listen to this. Krishna is disclosing what his relationship was with Lord Brahma when he was searching him out, climbing down the stem. How the Lord saw that behavior of Lord Brahma. When you were contemplating whether there was a source of the stem of the lotus of your birth, and you even entered into that stem, you could not trace out anything. But at that time, I manifested my form from within. Not like he would, you know, the super soul is in the heart of every living being. But he made himself known. First it was not known, covered. Then it was disclosed. And not just his presence was known and felt, but knowledge. Dadami buddhi yogam tam. So, purport. The personality of Godhead can be experienced only by his causeless mercy, not by mental speculation or with the help of the material senses. Material senses cannot approach the transcendental understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's what he was trying to do. With his senses searching, 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 where does the stem come from? That's my source of my existence. Searching, searching. Couldn't find. Because the senses can't approach there. And, you know, for all of his mental guesswork and sensual inspection, dead end. So, what's the alternative? He can be appreciated only by submissive devotional service when he reveals himself before the devotee. Only by love of Godhead can one know God and not otherwise. The personality of Godhead cannot be seen with the material eyes, but he can be seen from within by spiritual eyes opened by the anointment of love of Godhead. As long as one's spiritual eyes are closed due to the dirty covering of matter, one cannot see the Lord. But when the dirt is removed by the process of devotional service, one can see the Lord without a doubt. Brahma's personal endeavor to see the root of the lotus pipe failed. But when the Lord was satisfied by his penance and devotion, he revealed himself from within with no external endeavor. There's a saying in the Bible Prabhupada would refer to, seek and ye shall find. Heard that one before? Seek. So, the Vedic version is atato brahma jigyasa. There must be an inquisitive spirit. And Brahma had that inquisitive spirit, but he was applying the wrong principle. He was applying the principle of sense inspection and mental speculation. Fortunately for him, the Lord recognized not the wrong endeavor, but the sincerity of that endeavor and his willingness to accept process of austerity and penance, and he became perfected. Very much like Dhruva Maharaj. He had a sincere desire. His motivation wasn't like the best. It was a get-back mentality, but he wanted to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At least, he wanted his audience and he wanted something from him. And Narada tested him, and Narada saw, this boy is really determined. And similarly, others who underwent austerities and penance, it's filled. Kardama Muni and the various personalities who saw the form of the Lord, the Prajetas, they underwent severe austerities and penance, and the Lord appreciated. And the purpose of their penance wasn't like, to get control or get piety so they could get material enjoyments. It was devotion to the Lord. And so he disclosed himself, as he's doing here. But here it's showing from the Lord's side what his appreciation. He has feelings, as we have feelings, and he was reciprocating with those feelings of Lord Brahma, his sincerity. Just like Rupa Goswami says in Nectar Devotion, and that eligibility of a candidate for devotional service, sincerity, or strong desire, greediness, even. Greed in this world is bad. You want something so bad. But wanting Krishna's association and his loving service with greediness, like everything else gets displaced and it's just that one thing. That's the price. Or in one of the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur about the holy name, he gave Lord Nityananda the empowerment. Distribute the holy name. Go to the marketplace. Set up shop. Give franchises to people. Literally that term is used in Bengali. Set up shop and have a franchise. But there are some rules in the franchise, and that is you have to charge a price. The price is faith. So there's something from our side, and there's something from Krishna's side. When he sees there's sincerity, and he sees there's genuine faith, we may be little people, little fragile sparks. But if there's this faith, according to the faith that we pay or invest in the process of bhakti, counting on the fact that the Lord is merciful, although we're very tiny and insignificant, seeing that there's reciprocation. That's what he's saying here to Lord Brahma. He manifested his form starting from within. While he's still in the stem, he manifested himself and he felt that. Now here's the next verse, that's the Chaitya Guru verse. Text 38, O Brahma, the prayers that you have chanted, praising the glories of my transcendental activities, and the penances you have undertaken to understand me, and your firm faith in me, all these are to be considered my causeless mercy. Check it out. Not only the result is his causeless mercy, but the process is his causeless mercy, and the faith to follow the process to get the result is his causeless mercy. purport. When a living entity desires to serve the Lord in transcendental loving service, the Lord helps the devotee in so many ways as Chaitya Guru, or the spiritual master within, and thus the devotee can perform many wonderful activities beyond material estimation, like start a worldwide Hare Krishna movement single-handedly with ill health in old age and no infrastructure, just like nothing. Beyond material estimation. By the mercy of the Lord, even a layman can compose prayers of the highest spiritual perfection. Layman meaning one who may not have rigorous Sanskrit training, very, very learned, no material qualification like that, but with the right qualification, sincerity, faith, great determination to reach the supreme goal, the Lord can reciprocate, and there's many such examples of that also. Such spiritual perfection is not limited by any material qualifications, but is developed by dint of one's sincere endeavor to render transcendental service. Voluntary endeavor is the only qualification for spiritual perfection. Material acquisitions of wealth or education are not considered. So that's some good news. We don't have to have prior material qualification, because we don't. And we're not barred if we do have or don't have. It's not even considered. Who's disqualified? One's disqualified if there isn't sincerity, and one is qualified if there's sincerity, whatever the background. Background that's like the example of dry wood as opposed to wet wood. Dry wood can ignite much more easily than wet wood. In fact, wet wood has to be made dry before it ignites. But you put a piece of wet wood by a fire, and in due course of time it will ignite, because the moisture in the wet wood will be driven away by the fire, and then it will ignite. So the duration of time it takes may be a little longer. That's okay. The wet wood can still ignite once made dry. And so we have our regulative principles to help make us dry, make us free from the lower modes of nature. And we have our process of chanting. That's the fire. And by proper handling of the process and the following of the regulations, because that's also mentioned in the earlier verses, the willingness to follow my instructions and my regulations helps one come to this stage, then one can ignite. And even if one is in the mode of goodness or qualified, one isn't going to ignite without sincerity. You know, you have to get close enough to the fire before you ignite. At least a willingness. And that willingness is manifest by submission. That is, Krishna's indication, when Krishna gives some indication, we don't hesitate or object to the way in which Krishna is asking us to serve him, even if it's a difficult circumstance that Krishna sends our way and we're to serve him in that difficult circumstance, or whatever it is. It's his loving service, whatever it is that he wishes. As that quality grows, then the covering of our disqualifications accelerates. And the reciprocation of Krishna becomes more and more palpable and recognizable, up to the point where, as he's describing here to Lord Brahma, he manifests himself within his heart, he begins instructing from within the heart, and in this case he's showing his form before Lord Brahma. And we can think, well, if just Krishna would instruct me from within the heart, I'd be happy with that. But Krishna's instructing from within the heart. We're just like not tuned into the Krishna channel. Krishna's giving us instructions. And similarly, the goal is not just like become a good, pious person. The goal is to go back to Godhead, where Krishna is before you. And that's also his mercy. There's this really beautiful picture on the back cover of this old version, Third Canto, Part 2. There's the lotus stem going up like this, and a little pink lotus flower up here. And here's this huge form of Lord Vishnu. They're having a dialogue. Little Lord Brahma, huge Lord Vishnu. Very nice. And there's this wonderful, loving relationship. The devotee loves the Lord, and the Lord loves the devotee, and reciprocates in these ways that we're hearing. Very nice. Very intimate. Although the subject matter is dealing with the material energy, how to do that properly. It's, you know, that vibrant connection of the relationship between the Lord and his devotee is the how-to, and then the essence, and then the how-to becomes like detail. So I'm going to end there, see if there's some discussion. Yeah.
Also the causelessness.
Yeah.
Initially the faith is a volunteer endeavor by the living entity, so how is that being the causelessness?
That's a nice question. It's the essence of bhakti. There are five factors to action. One of them is some endeavor, so you make some endeavor. But your endeavor is going to be zero without the empowerment of the Supreme Lord. Krishna gives faith. He says that about those who worship him otherwise. They worship the demigods, and Krishna gives them the faith. From our side, Krishna recognizes our prapadyante, our regard towards him, and if the regard is sincerity, he rewards us with faith. Whatever there is, it's Krishna's decoration for the devotee. And for the non-devotee, whatever it is Krishna's decoration, according to that singular regard that we have for him. The operative factor that we have to work with is our free will. We can will anything, and it's not going to happen unless Krishna sanctions it. So Krishna's sanction is from his side, and our free will is from our side. And where do we see our shelter? That's our free will. If Krishna is our only shelter, he strengthens our faith. It's very wonderful. Just like, say, with your daughter, you may wish to have her feel something, feel safe, feel something, something, something. So you extend. But you don't have the power to instill faith in her. That's something that's Krishna's prerogative. She's making some free will choices. I'll reciprocate or not. I'll extend myself warmly or not. But that the sanction is in Krishna's hand. Even in like father-daughter, it's ultimately under Krishna's jurisdiction. So he's at the center of all of our relationships, of all of our everything. And certainly at the center of our relationship with him. That's what Brahma, that's what Lord Vishnu is saying here. Because so many other things are going to happen. You know, it's not like the universe is... He hasn't launched yet. He's contemplating. Like, you know, when we leave here, we'll go and do so many different things. And before we do those things, there's our sadhana. And here, the Lord is telling Lord Brahma, your faith to stay fixed in your devotion unto me, that faith has come from me. Because I see your sincerity. I see that you have the proper conception and regard for me. Here's the faith. Here's the ability to make this connection. Here's the fruit of your work. It's beautiful. So it's like the relationship is this very core, essential surrender and love and sincerity of wanting to please him. And then, you know, so many things. Really nice. Anything else?
Yes. In continuation with that, free will is in our hand. Free will
is in our hand.
Right, so it's the desire, we need to have a desire, then only the process and the faith will come from Krishna.
That's correct. That's exactly what the Lord says. Now, sincerity isn't like, there's not a disconnect, it's not like a layer or a covering or something like that. It's part of us in the sense that it's our relationship with Krishna is ours. So Krishna shapes that relationship according to our regard for him. So if our regard for him is one of sincerity, wishing to enter into his service, that faith is given. The connection is there. And you know, so many other alternatives according to our regard. Whatever the makeup of our faith is, that's something that Krishna is bestowing. That's not in our hand. Our free will is. And the fidelity of that free will is as opposed to like something that's a mix. Hedging. Little here, little there, little there, little. I have many shelters. Then Krishna gives us that faith. This is how we regard him. Or our, at least our, in our case, our aspiration for an undivided loving service position and relationship with him. Then he gives us the means and the faith. But the choice is ours. He's like nurturing that like anything. Make this loving choice, please. Yeah. Anything else? Yeah.
So many times, many people in the world to be devotee. Like yesterday, we were having a discussion about people from Andhra Pradesh. But the question I'm trying to ask here is, what I heard a little bit earlier in the morning about faith, at the same time, looks like mercy is an important factor too. Because a lot of time people endeavor to attain God, but they end up in the wrong place, the wrong room, maybe wrong religion.
The Damodar Leela expresses this in essence. There's two things required. One is endeavor and the other is mercy. Immediately, Mother Jasoda was not able to bind Krishna, but she persevered. Her austerity was different than Brahma's, but you know, it's the principle of endeavoring for the right purpose. Not like to control Krishna, she endeavored with love. Because she endeavored with love, there was reciprocation. Mercy. Krishna was able to bind her, or she was able to bind Krishna. So, same principle as you're expressing. Yes, mercy is needed, but faith is part of that mercy. So it's the endeavor, it's the exercise of our free will towards, you know, in the properly directed manner. Here, Lord Vishnu is saying, because you have this spiritual conception. Where did he get the spiritual conception? In our case, it's from descending disciplic succession. In his case, there wasn't descending disciplic succession. In later cantos, there's a description that says it's the continuum of 100 lifetimes of flawlessly executing the one's occupational duties. 100 lifetimes of flawlessly executing occupational duties. That's how qualified Brahma is. So then it's the Supreme Lord directly, in his case, that imparts knowledge. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kavaye, because of that unique, very, very special qualification. And for us, it's the submissiveness to that descending knowledge is the validation or the exam of our qualification, because accepting descending as opposed to ascending. So that's the faith item or sincerity of purpose. We come across that which is an explanation of the proper purpose, we take it up. That's the strength to do so is our faith. Anyway, it's nice. Yeah?
Does it mean the strength also has a different grade? Like, endure definitely has a different...
Sure. 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 We're not on the platform of Haridas Thakur. If we strive by right means at whatever our position is, that faith will be nurtured. And it will grow. And grow and grow and grow and grow. And so many other dependencies will fall off in just one thing.
So many times, this is my personal problem. So many having a staunch faith in some things, later it's shaken off for whatever reason, or... And it's very difficult. That's what bugs me the most.
So, don't be so sure of yourself. Look more towards this descending order and increase faith there. It's one of the reasons why it is to be trained for ourselves and all subsequent new devotees to have a very clear sense of a relationship with Srila Prabhupada as our preeminent Shiksha Guru, and from whomever else we receive instructions, he is the preeminent Shiksha Guru. Some other persons may be very qualified in guiding and instructing and, you know, helping us go back to Godhead. But Prabhupada remains in that preeminent position. It's not like, you know, it's reality. It's not like demeaning or disrespecting anyone else. It's just Prabhupada is in that position. And if that becomes secured, then all others who are assisting and serving Srila Prabhupada, their fidelity to Prabhupada's teaching is what brings us faith in them. And so on. And then we have an international society of Krishna consciousness, not a confederation. Yes? Yes.
In the process of devotional service, sometimes it's said that like faith is tested, or like some situations where.
Yes.
So how do we understand that? Like, if faith is given.
Well, it's something you have. Krishna has given, and it's being tested. How strong? How strong have you taken shelter of that, which he's given? You can think of it that way. And the outcome of testing faith is increasing faith. It's like this discussion from a few days ago, where in the purport, Prabhupada was discussing the mistake of Brahma in stealing the calves and the cowherd boys, and it looked like he was bewildered, but actually it was the internal potency acting to strengthen his relationship. So the testing of faith can be purposeful, not just like to see, okay, do you get an A or an F, but to increase your Krishna consciousness and your realizations. So testing can be to expand it, not to like, you know, are you genuine or false? Trying circumstances are, particularly for the devotee, are at the hand of Krishna, at his discretion. And being faithful servants, we're okay with that. Although it may look like, whoa, that wasn't my plan. In fact, it looks uncomfortable. But it's, you know, if you testing of faith is you stay faithful, and it's I'm not sure what Krishna's plan is, but I know it's loving. Although it may not look like it, I know it is. Because I have my idea of what, you know, I'm dealing with one teenager who had this, you know, something was going on. And they said, I think my problem is I'm not able to receive the love that others are extending to me. So I replied to them, supposing the others who you're not seeing the love that they are extending to you, if whatever it is that you wanted, it was yes, whether it was good for you or not, it was yes, then you would see that's loving. Is that, how would that feel? But if it's not always yes, then you're not able to see that it's loving. And their response was, I guess I'm selfish. Because it's on my terms. That's what loving is. Not a relationship. Where the person who I'm loving is someone who I respect, but you know they've got to say yes so that then I can say it's loving. So but love, especially in relation to Krishna, it's on Krishna's terms. And that's not a non-loving dimension. It's love. It's his position. It's our position to serve him. And sometimes I have this realization and direct experience, and I've seen it with others. I was discussing it just the other day with a family, that sometimes things that are faith testing, like you were describing, what Krishna wants is for us to come more completely to the position, not like we're zero, but come to a higher position of placing our dependence upon him as our shelter. And then sustaining that over a period of time where it's not like we're waffling, yeah, but just like staying there genuinely. And then, boop, the circumstances change. Just like that. And it's, wow. Not just like, now I got what I wanted. Not like a child, but wow. This is for sure what Krishna wanted. And my happiness is not circumstantial. My happiness is that relationship with Krishna. It's really nice. And, you know, when those circumstances happen, the trying circumstances, it's such a wonderful opportunity to go more deeply into what the essence of having a relationship with Krishna is. It's wonderful. Although when you're going through it, it's like uncomfortable, puzzling. Maybe not even like why, but just like uncomfortable. And sometimes it's why. But the purpose of the Lord, as Bhishma Dev says, that's what to speak of ourselves, is not easily understood. We shouldn't even make that our project. It's nice to try to understand what's the lesson here in faith testing circumstances. But it may just be take full shelter in Krishna. That's the lesson. Other shelters are not really shelters. They're temporal, and it's not real happiness, and that which looked like happiness that's gone is not real happiness. What's real happiness is the relationship with Krishna. Take shelter there. Like Prabhupada quoted when he was Krishna started taking everything away as a householder, and he was thinking that's unfortunate, and then he realized it's the Lord's special mercy. A verse, Lord Hari shows his special mercy when he takes away everything, but it's not like he just takes away everything, he gives everything. With his unlimited hands, he takes away everything. With his unlimited hands, he gives everything. That's the essence. But we're so busy holding on to that which isn't the essence that when he gives the essence, we can't receive it. We're distracted, trying to preserve our material happiness and our false shelters. That's faith testing kinds of dynamics. As with our relationship with Krishna, so our relationship with those that we interact with, like say discipline of children. A child may feel like this teenager example, but a small child also. Why are you depriving me of what I want to do? I want unlimited freedom. You don't love me. When there's some restriction. But the restriction can certainly be out of love. It can also be out of someone that's just exercising control over a smaller entity. But it can also be loving. And where it's not, it's discipline out of love. When discipline is understood out of love, that's very nice. It's the love. That's very nice. And you can accept the discipline. So if this is coming out of love, and that's what Brahma is saying, Vishnu is saying to Brahma, you've accepted the discipline very deeply. That's very pleasing to me. So now I'm reciprocating. Here I am. As a gesture of my loving exchange with you. That's what we gain when we accept disciplining or faith testing circumstances. The real thing, our relationship with Krishna. That's his mercy. And the faith to do so, the means, as well as the realization, is it's all his mercy. Beautiful verse. Anything else? Amritananda.
This is a different question regarding hearing, the process of hearing.
Okay.
So, we hear classes and we read books and understand theoretically what is being said. I have a problem that when it's time for action, those things I cannot recall oftentimes. And act on the basis of instinct or
conditioning. we act on, if it's not out of remembrance, then it's acting out of conditioning.
So how to overcome that, whatever we have heard?
Have you had the experience, I'll give two answers. Have you had the experience that you're having a dialogue with a newer devotee and they ask a question, and in responding to that question, all kinds of things that if you had to write an essay, you couldn't remember them, but because of the service, you get Krishna supplies remembrance of so many things. So that's in the mood of service. But, you know, to now take it to the second part, if there's a sincere desire that I must apply, Krishna will give that remembrance. So what needs to be amplified here is the mood of service in applying. I'm sure you do it in your settings of discussion. Now, how do we apply this? How do we apply this? How do we apply this? And then, you know, if it remains an academic exercise and we don't apply it, we are not going to advance. Because the mood of service is where Krishna is supplying the intelligence, the Dhammi Buddhi Yogam Tam. It's not that we don't know or we've never heard it. There may be some subtlety of how to apply something in a particular circumstance, but it's the same message, our free will, that sincerity. It's meant not just for theoretical, it's meant for practical. So let me work on this, a manageable portion, a chewable bite of application. Try it instead, if you do try to do something too broadly, it's dissipated. Do something that's focused. Pick something that you know you've heard, and make it's from anishtata to nishta. Bhakti is take something that you know will benefit you. Consider from different angles. Yes, this is very important. Check with your wife. She'll let you know, yeah, this is something very... And then you do it. And, find that there's some unsteadiness, but you stay with it. And by doing one thing consistently, the capacity to do other things follows in the practical application department. It makes a path, and then the water starts to flow in that path. The nectar starts to flow in that path because you made a path of application. And just abhyasa, just continue to practice that. However many times it doesn't happen, you keep practicing at it. And be focused. It's like a magnifying glass, and you hold the magnifying glass and the light of the sun can start a fire. You have to hold it in the right angle and so forth, but you're attentive to a focused effort of application. And then it becomes a skill, becomes a habit, becomes your life, application.
Yeah, Maharaj. There are circumstances when...
I like that name. Yeah, Maharaj. It's better than Maharaj. Go ahead.
Even when we don't have faith testing circumstances, there are times when, I'm doing deity worship, like one day I'm in a great mood, joyous, whatever. The other day it's just like, I've got to do this, and it's like almost,
Okay, there's ups and downs.
Ups and downs, right. And then I feel guilty. I feel like, I'm not able to reproduce the same.
And then what happens after you feel guilty? So here's the antidote to that one. That's the mode of ignorance. And you just take that feeling and let it be the mode of goodness. It's impetus to go to the next, you know, to go to the next level of steadiness. First is, the frame is knowledge. It's standard. Anishtita bhakti is something that not only you, but all persons who are striving for Krishna, pure Krishna bhakti, go through. It's just like, you're normal. And you're at this level. So accept with self-honesty, this is my level of unsteadiness. Now, let me direct that energy, this regret that I'm in this stage of unsteadiness, and turn it into an impetus to become steady. So, I'll say the same thing in a different way. The standard definition, like rule of thumb, is Maya is that which diminishes devotional service, and the spiritual realm is that which increases devotional service. So take that, instead of surrendering to the mode of ignorance and feel, you know, bad, take that same experience and turn it into the spiritual energy. Direct your attention that way, consciously. Say no to Maya and say yes to Krishna. And practice it. Because there's this other motive, all it is the mode of nature acting. And the mode of nature is pulling you down. It's Maya. You take a look at Maya and say, no. No. Like children say, no. So, no, I'm not going there. And you say yes. And so you make a strong yes, and the no becomes, you can say it politely. Oh, thank you. Because of a strong state. We had a whole retreat in Giranagar. We say yes to Krishna was the theme. It worked. And then you just practice it. And then it becomes spontaneous. You don't even have to think about it. It's just spontaneous. Because that feeling bad about it and then diminishing your enthusiasm, as that is released in favor of entering into the spiritual realm, the amplitude of up and down diminishes. Steadiness is approached. And the level of up, if the whole, whatever you call that, the axis starts to move. Not only the sine curve amplitude becomes less, but the axis starts to slope up. It's a free will choice. You don't have to say yes to the mode of ignorance or to Maya. You can say yes to Krishna. Take shelter of his internal potency. My dear Lord Krishna, you know my condition. Just see. I don't have to tell you because you already know, but I'll disclose it so you know that I know. You're giving me this realization of what my condition is. Kindly pick me up. Please let this be a lesson in impetus. And just like keep practicing and practicing and practicing, it becomes, that's what you do. When there's this recognition of, I'm becoming mechanical, I'm just getting it done, so that immediately say no to Maya and look to Krishna. And whatever standard prayers or spontaneous prayers or combination come, it's instructions, remembering, like, you know, remembering instructions, what to do in that circumstance. Remember the instruction. It will come if that's like you're reaching to Krishna, turning to the light and away from darkness. Reach to the light. Tamasima Jyotir Gama. That's the will of the whole Pacific succession, is to take you back to Godhead. Please pick me up. You make some endeavor and you look for mercy. It becomes, that replaces the other. And it leads to steadiness. And as Amritananda said, easier said than done. But so it takes application. That's what separates the men from the boys. Or, you know, that where you make advancement or you stay stagnant. One other point is connected to this. If you recall from the presentation yesterday evening, that picture of Bhakti Marg Swami sitting with a college student at a college campus somewhere, and I think it's Miami. The teacher-student relationship is a big factor in developing quality or character. That's a Vedic truth, principle. So, however strong your connection is with those persons who are sent by Krishna into your life to help you come to Him, strengthening those relationships will help you get over the repeated behavior of down and feeling bad about it and getting stuck. So there's your effort, but there's also mercy. Mercy comes in the form of those relationships that Krishna sends to help you go up beyond your own effort to do so. There's the mercy factor. Be merciful in terms of those persons and the relationships with those persons. Strengthen those relationships. We've had this discussion on several occasions. I can explicitly recall them. You know, where we were sitting in your home and having this discussion. It's very important. It's Vedic. It's not sentimental, it's Vedic. It's real. Anything on this side? Yes?
How do we, in devotional services, after some stage, it seems that one becomes, I become complacent. How to curtail complacency?
How to overcome complacency? I answered this question one time during the course of this visit. I gave two alternatives. One is recognizing that we're in that zone of complacency and shrugging it off by effort and calling for mercy. When I recognize, so part of the problem with material existence is we don't recognize that we're in material existence. We're covered. So we just don't even recognize it. But when you recognize it, then what do? You like this other discussion, you say no to Maya, you shrug off that complacency and you call out to Krishna, you make an extra effort. Someone that's bound up. You don't just passively sit there and be bound up. You make an endeavor to get free, but you also call out because someone that's unbound can unbind you. That mercy factor is needed. That's what we can do positively. And then there's another alternative that's not a nice one, and that is we just continue in complacency and we suffer. Like we get kicked, and we don't like to get kicked. So that's another impetus. We don't like to get kicked. We don't like pain.
Any practical things that one could do?
Call out to Krishna. That's practical. You turn to go back to basics. That phrase to me means, okay, I'm not such an advanced devotee. I'm this, really neophyte devotee. That's reality. And how did I begin my Krishna consciousness? I was attentive to the basics. So let me go back to the basics. Humble, applying basics. That's practical. That's how you regard yourself and how you apply yourself to the facilities that Krishna has given you. Count your blessings. Take them, cherish them very valuably. Feel gratitude for the basics. And and move. Calling out. That's practical. Yes.
How to increase the faith if we are following the regulative principles and we are doing chanting, but how to make that faith more firm and firm every time?
Application. In Bhagavad Gita, there's a place where Prabhupada explains faith. It's two things, association and application. When we act in knowledge, it increases faith. And here's how it works. We go to Bhagavad Gita. We go to a spiritual teachings or a spiritual teacher. And we hear a bunch of things. Out of those bunch of things, something really resonates. And we take that internally and we apply it. Something like what I was saying to Amritananda before. So we apply it. And when you apply it, you have real knowledge and you apply it, something happens. Whoa, this is powerful. I got a realization. And because you got a realization, it nurtures your faith. So then you go back to that place where you received that knowledge from and I want to hear something more. It may even be you hear the same sound vibration, but you hear things that you didn't hear before because now you're hearing with faith. And something really resonates. You go to the laboratory of your life and you apply it. And do it consistently. And something happens. You get a realization. Wow! And that increases your faith. And you go back with greater faith to that source. And in this way, faith increases. Organically. It's like putting water on a plant. Water Tulsi and put Tulsi by the light and Tulsi is going to grow. And that increases your faith. Wow, this is the process of growing Tulsi. Faith grows by that hearing and application. And when you apply, add another component, and that is as you hear and as you apply, connect with the person, Krishna, who you've heard from, and as you're going into the application laboratory called life, you're thinking of the relationship with this person, the gratefulness that you feel towards that which you've received. By even chanting, like, you know, this complacency question. Chant in a manner that which you've heard helps you understand how to chant better, and you chant, not just apply it, but conscious of the person, you're nurturing the relationship. So then it becomes faith not only in the message, but the person. And as that relationship grows, faith, you know, opens your heart and you're able to receive so much more from the same source that's, you know, distributed the same amount of mercy the first time. Just, you know, the heart wasn't open as much as the next time you come around. But so it's application and a feeling of gratitude, a sense of gratitude for that which one has received. All of it is just as this verse spoken by Lord Vishnu. It's all just in the higher order of things. It's Krishna's taking us back to Godhead. And the process of bhakti is the means of doing so. And the process of bhakti, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, it's just stages of faith. From the beginning to the most complete, from preliminary faith to prema. It's just another way of looking at those nine stages. It's just degrees of faith. Up to the topmost stage. And the residents in Vrindavan, they have absolute faith in Krishna. They don't even think of him as God. They just have love for him. That's the mature stage of faith. So in the less than mature, it's vaidhi, regulative. And then we apply those and we get some realization and that nurtures faith. The other part I wanted to say is kind of embedded in the first one, but the emphasis upon relationship. In other words, the message I want to share here, because I've thought a lot about this, and anyway, experienced it, that even the term faith implies faith in something, but that something is not impersonal, it's someone. It's a relationship. Faith in a person gives us faith in the message of that person. That was in that PowerPoint presentation yesterday also. Just one slide. But a Vedic conception of developing, let's take the quality of faith. Yesterday was the quality of compassion, but the quality of faith, how do you nurture faith? By associating with those that are faithful. And so if at least the opportunity is there by associating with those that are faithful to develop that, enhance the quality of faith. Stand near a fire, you get warm. Associate with devotees that are faithful, you become faithful. And then there's this necessity for openness of heart to those persons, and to some degree there's some trust or confidence in those persons, some faith in those persons. Then you have faith. When, as that unfolds, you have your faith in general increases. Your faith in Krishna, your faith in bhakti. Because, a little bit like what Nandasutta said about, having an expectation and then somehow something happens and there's disappointment. So we should repose our faith cautiously and wisely, and not beyond our limits. But, as you do that and do it wisely, carefully, and guided by scripture and so forth, then even some untoward thing may happen. Your faith isn't broken because it's properly grounded. So, but it's relationships help us, spiritual-based relationships help us grow in faith. Okay. So application and association. Headlines. We're ending here. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Yesterday, because I heard another class on the 16th.